testimonies. Thank you for you do miracles so great. Lord, we worship you. Because if it had not been you who was on our side, Lord, our enemies would have held us alive. Situations and circumstances would have overwhelmed us. But Lord, we give you praise, glory, and honor. Be exalted. Lord, we yield our hearts to you. Let your word come to heal, to deliver, to set free. Holy Spirit, we ask that you move in this place unhindered. Be glorified in our midst. Be exalted, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. And if there's a seat empty ahead of you, move forward. And good morning. It's good to see you. Living Worship, you have got to, there's a whole row that you preserve that doesn't get occupied. Thank you, Prophetess Michelle. You're so good. You're so kind. Well, we praise God for Mama Margaret's testimony. Praise God. In that regard, let me share my own testimony. You know, let me share my own testimony in that regard. Of course, I was recently in Nigeria. And But nothing happened in Nigeria. Everything in Nigeria was good. Because I know when you say you were in Nigeria, everybody could like, Of course, I traveled to Nigeria and was coming back from when I went to see my father-in-law and the family. I was warned not to travel at night or not to travel within the night. But when I was getting back to a certain place, time was fast spent. And I think the police had come out and had some squabbles with some people in the community, and they shot somebody dead. So, you know, I was tired, jet lagging, and as we were approaching that place, I saw somebody came out with a machete and with a stick, and they were about to hit the car. Basically, the community had come out and stopped the road, that vehicles would not pass. They were at an impasse with the police. So they just basically said, for what police did, they are going to disrupt every traffic. And that was a major highway that we were traveling on. But imagine you're awoken to somebody with a machete and another person with a club, like with a stick. Basically, they were just trying to deter the drivers. Nothing, you know, serious. I remember when I was talking to my wife, she stayed up to wait to make sure that I get back to my hotel safely. When we had overcome that incident, I told her, well, you know, there was a delay. We had to take a detour. She didn't sleep again until I got to where I was going to. But we thank God for that. But what I wanted to share, on our way from Atlanta to Nigeria, of course, the jet, we had bought it. So there was this really, 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 really bad turbulence. But it was not just the turbulence. The plane had to dive like 3 times in a row. I mean, to where you know that everybody in that plane became a Christian. And there were people yelling, shield me from this. I mean, you knew that the plane was, of course, I know that air travel is the safest travel. Let me be honest with you. It's just so you know, air travel is the safest travel you ever travel. For those of you who are afraid of, I mean, it was funny. I started laughing because it was so bad to where the air hostess fell on her knees and she almost passed out. She had to sit because there was an empty seat by me. And it took about 5 minutes for her to regain herself. But it was so funny because everybody, you see, adults and big men, they were holding their seat like, I busted outside laughing. There was a guy who was sitting, he looked at me, so he said, it's not funny. I said, actually, it is very funny. But anyway, I heard people praying all the kinds of prayers. And some people turned like, what's wrong with you? Why are you not afraid? It became like I became the pilot in that place. Now people are asking me, are we going to experience another one? I said, I don't know. But you know, sometimes there's those times there was a guy who was sitting across with his wife. They were all, you know, lovey, lovey talking. When that happened, he didn't talk to his wife again for a while. you know, but after a while, we had a very funny conversation. He said, you know, he thought about his food that he had asked that they should prepare for him to get. He said, you must eat that food before he dies, if anything. I said, no, I'm not. So, you know, God is a good God. God is a faithful God. You could see a lot of times when his deliverance, and I can bet you, everybody on that flight had to really think about life again. Everybody. I'm talking about 3 dives in less than 5 minutes. I mean, it was just, you feel like your spirit is left up there and the thing is falling. 3 times consecutively, they instilled through turbulence. But, I knew I was safe. Because I've gone through worse ones than that. But God is good. God is faithful. Amen. Well, this morning we're going to talk about teach my hands to war. Tell somebody, teach my hands to war. It is a year of expansion, right? Isaiah 54 is a year of expansion. Last week we talked about give me this mountain. Strategies for expansion. We talk about give me this mountain. And today we're talking about teach my hands to war. Isaiah chapter 54. Oh, you know what? Yeah, Isaiah 54, verse number 1 to 3. It says, sing, O barren, you who have not born, break forth into singing and cry aloud. You who have not labored with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Says who? Says the Lord. Verse number 2. Enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. Verse number 3. For you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. That is a promise. That is the word of the Lord to us this year. That is the word of the Lord to you. He says what? Enlarge the place of your tent and strengthen your cords. Verse 2, enlarge the place of your tent. Enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. Then he says, verse 3, he says, for you shall, it is a promise, you shall expand. But I come this morning to tell you that sometimes expansion comes on in a way that God gives you warfare. When God gives you a promise like this, don't just fold your hands and sit down. Don't just take prophecies and prophetic words and think you just fold your hands and sit down and it will happen. There is what God has said, but sometimes those opportunities are packaged in adversity. Psalm chapter 144, Psalm 144. We're going to talk this morning. We're talking, looking at things. Psalm 144, verse number 1, it says, blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. He is your rock, but yet he trains your hands for what? For war and your fingers for battle. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. If you want to expand this year, you must be ready to embrace every situation and face any adversity head on. If you want to experience God like never before this year, it is not a place to fold your hands and sit still and sit quiet. No, it is the time to rise and to fight and to take that which belongs to you. To lay hold and lay claim on the things that God has promised to you. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to look at some things this morning in the Word of God. Let me ask you a question. If you know your Bible and you remember fully well, when the children of Israel went into Egypt, when they went into Egypt voluntarily, did they meet the Red Sea?
No.
Did they cross the Red Sea?
No.
When God, when Joseph was sold into Egypt, did he cross the Red Sea?
No.
Not that you know of. Right? Which is no. Which is no. So question, and you know that the place from which they left to go into Egypt is the same place that God brought them back to. That was the promised land where they left to go into Egypt. You know that, right? In fact, before them, Abraham himself had left that place and went to Egypt. And he came back. He did not cross the Red Sea. So question to you, why then did God, when he freed the children of Israel, when he let Pharaoh release them to go, why did God take them by the Red Sea? Exodus chapter number 13, beginning from verse number 17. Teach my hands to war. There are things God has packaged for you this year. There are things that God has reserved for you this year. But you must be ready to make war with it. And sometimes war is not just, it's not always ugly. Some war is beautiful. It means that you have to brace up yourself, brace up your emotions. Don't believe this thing where they tell you everything is just going to fall on your laps. God has said it. You believe it, it settles it. But you got to rise up and war. Hallelujah. Exodus chapter 13, verse number 17. Let's read together. One, two, go. Then it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go. Hold on. That who?
God.
Who was orchestrating it?
God.
Okay. Let's read again. One, two, go. Then it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go. Hold on. Who God did not lead them. God could lead them any way, but he did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines. Although that was near. You know, we live in a generation where we like quick, instant miracles. I've come to bust some bubbles today to tell you that God will not always lead you by the way that is near and quick and fast. Praise the Lord. Oh, Pastor Blaise is preaching good. Good message. Good word. You want to expand this year? You cannot sit down, fold your arms, and become a sissy. You have to be ready to engage the word of God, the prophetic word over your life. Hallelujah. Why did God not lead them that way, even though it was near? Let's read that last part together. Want to go? No, the last part, the last sentence where it is in parenthesis, it is in quoted. Lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. Oh. I thought God was leading them to a place flowing with milk and honey. Oh yes, he was leading them to a land that had plenty. It was a land of rest. But there, he says, I'm not going to take you by the shortcut, lest when you see war, they would change their minds and run back to captivity. You know, a lot of us have what they call uncertainty avoidance. It is the fear of the unknown. Some people want to, like Pastor Tim was talking on Wednesday, they have to be in control of everything. Anything. In fact, there is why a lot of people are afraid of air travel, because I was talking to a person next to me afterward. He said, I believe what you said, that air travel is very safe. But, you know, the problem is that I'm not sitting on the ground. I know this thing is not touching the ground. Saul, there's no control. So there has to be control. If you just check to see how many car crashes, don't go too far, don't go to Oklahoma, just in Tulsa alone, on a daily basis. On a daily basis, happen here. You know that it is grounded, does not mean that it is secured. It gives you a peace of mind in your mind because of what control? That you are in charge. You know, sometimes when this incident happened, I wondered. I said, this air travel people, some people, pilots, they go through this on a day, they go coming in, going out, coming in, going out. Some of you would have resigned your job a long time ago, so no, because you don't want to deal with uncertainty. Lest perhaps the people change their minds. When they see war, they hear that it is a land flowing with milk and honey, but when they see war, when they see that there is work to be done in that land to secure the milk, to secure the honey, to secure the plenty, they will change their minds and say, I prefer bondage where I am guaranteed. There is a certainty of garlic, of ginger, of leeks, of onion. Even though I may get some whooping on my back, but at least I'm guaranteed food. Am I talking to somebody today? And that is the reaction of some believers because they don't want to work at all. They don't want anything. They prefer to be with the devil where they know that he will molest them. But, you know, somehow there will be some little pacifier that will be given. That's why some believers have become lazy. Lazy. They don't want to study the Bible to know for themselves. They don't want to grow for themselves. They just want, Pastor, do it for me. Even if it means that I will not always be guaranteed the miracle, but do it for me. I don't want to learn how to do my part. When you see this passage, it tells you that God is intentional in His sovereignty. There are some things God allows come your way because He wants to mature you. He wants to train you. He wants to equip you for sustainable progress. God is not a God of, you know, one step forward, two steps backward. No, He wants your progress to be sustainable. Hallelujah. Amen. I say hallelujah. Amen. Teach my hands to walk. Hallelujah. Our God is a good God. And He has good plans. I say He has good plans. Yes. This year, are you ready for expansion?
Yes.
Are you, you know, expansion, it is a stretching. It means that you will stretch. Your capacity will increase. You will be stretched. When somebody is being stretched, it is not funny. It is not funny, and it is not fun. But at the end of the day, there's an enlarged capacity. There's an increased capacity. And that's what God has determined for you and I this year. So, well, Pastor, that's Old Testament. Let's go New Testament. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 18. I'll come back to this Exodus here soon. And then I'll share with you a few things. And we will close. Paul speaking to his son, Timothy, a New Testament believer. A pastor. He says, this charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may sit down and celebrate. That you may shout hallelujah, praise God, and then go to bed. Church, are we together? That by the prophecies, not one, prophecies that were met previously concerning you, that by them you may do what? You may wage the good warfare. Every prophetic word over your life is a tool in your hands for warfare. You didn't hear me. I said every prophetic word over your life is a tool in your hands for warfare. That when God has spoken and everything in your life you see is not lining up, you rise up and say, I refuse to settle for the status quo. I refuse to wait for things to come to pass, because from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence and the violent taken it by force. I will take my destiny by force. Expansion will come my way this year by force. Are you hearing me, somebody? I will force it until I see what God has said concerning me. I'm not sitting down, folding my arms. I will rise up and I will fight concerning it. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. You know, sometimes there's a time when God says, hold your peace. This war is not yours. There's a time for that. Then there's a time when he says, take your weapon, engage. Engage. Even though you are not the one to fight, he sends you to go. Because he needs you to be in the battlefield, to be a presence in the battlefield that he may do wonders. Oh, time doesn't permit me to share with you about a certain time when the children of Israel were confounded and there were enemies, there were adversities in the fields. And God told them, he said, gather the praise and worship team. He told Joseph, gather the praise and worship team. Let them go. And he did not tell them to stay at home and praise. He said, let them go out to the battlefield. And as they began to go, Joseph did not know what to tell them. Imagine you are going to go fight people and you are singing the songs. The people are there with weapons. That's when he rose up and he told them, he said, believe the Lord your God. And you know, they shall be what, then believe his prophet and you shall prosper. And then they began to lead a church and they began to sing. And all of a sudden, the enemies began to fight themselves. God needed them to be there. Don't remove yourself from the process of what God is doing in your life. Don't remove yourself from the process of what God is working. Because if you remove yourself and they give you the results, it will crush you. You didn't hear me. If you don't grow by certain experiences, there are things that will come to your hands and crush you. Instead of it being a blessing, it will be a curse. There are some people that things have come into their hands. And those things became a distraction for them. Because they did not grow correspondingly. Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health. Even as what? Your soul prospers. There has to be a commensurate prosperity of your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions. If not so, the things that God have promised you, they can come and take you away from him. There's people who, you know, the things that God has done for them is what has become trouble for them. This church I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them, that by what? By them, you may wage war. Who is waging the war? You. You are being proactive by them. This is almost the end of the first quarter of the year 2024. You begin to look at yourself, you begin to look at the word, and you begin to ask, sit down, do an introspection. Lord, you made a promise to me. This is the promise that has been, this is the word that has been given in our church. As a congregation, you sit down, you look. expansion. It is not just expansion, not just for you to buy it. You look at the church and you say, this is the promise, the word you have given to us as a congregation. How can I engage in warfare that we will expand? Are you hearing me, somebody? You know, starting from last year, this year, we've had some neighbors complain about the bass or the sound. Listen, we've had texts, messages, and calls. We had light turn on the parking lot. And, you know, people call, the CD has come out. I know some of you are here, you don't even realize that those are things are happening. You know what I'm thinking? I'm already thinking, how can we, a new place? Are you hearing me, somebody? New location where we can worship God freely, easily. Not this one where we are packed here. Oh, are you hearing me, somebody? Oh, some of you are still sitting there now. When you hear that now, your heart starts beating like a pastor is about to raise offering. Nobody is raising offering. But you ought to tell yourself, how can I engage in warfare with the word for this year for expansion? First, numerical expansion, financial expansion. What part can I do, Lord, to see your word come to pass in this church and in the lives of my brethren? Hallelujah. Amen. I said hallelujah. Amen. Don't sit down and fold yourself and sleep on the word. You sleep on the word. In fact, those who did not believe, they died. They died in the wilderness. I will show you. The wilderness, the desert where it was a place to teach them to war, became a place that killed them. It became a filtering place. They had a promise, but they never enjoyed the promise. It ended as a promise. Don't let the word of God end in your life as a promise. Are you going through adversity? Oh, square your head, square your shoulders, and say, Lord, open my eyes to see. The psalmist said, he prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. If you don't know how to war, if your hands don't know how to war, and your fingers don't know how to battle, the presence of your enemies will be a distraction for you. But yet that is the place of your victory. Are you hearing me, somebody? It is the place of your victory. It is the place of your celebration. It is the place of your settlement. So sometimes I've looked, whenever I see adversity and I start hearing things or things are not going a certain way, I say, Lord, just show me the opportunities. Open my eyes to see. How can I engage this in battle? How can I engage this in war? And that's what I've come to talk to you today. To learn to war. To train your hands to war. To train your fingers for battle. Praise God. Is it bad news you have heard? Oh, is it things you were expecting something and some other thing is coming that you've gotten discouraged, you sit down, you're crying. Cry, I'm finished. They will bypass you. In this race, in this spiritual race, it is permitted for other people to overtake you. Are you hearing me, somebody? It is permitted for other people to overtake you. It's like you're on the highway, you're driving, the speed limit is 80 miles an hour. If all you know how to control is 45, you cannot complain about people who are driving 80. It is permitted for them to overtake you. You either brace up your heart and say, I will engage the 80, because when they put the 80, they knew it was a safe zone. Or you just begin to go, you're 45. It's not a problem. It's all right. Just make sure as you're going to 45, you move away from the fast lane. Are you hearing me, somebody? For those of you who don't know how to drive, the fast lane is the left lane. If you are driving 45 on a highway, just go to the rightmost lane. Go all the way to the right. Don't become one of those annoying drivers that they are coming behind you. You're just there. Those of you who drive, you know what I'm talking about. Teach my hands to war. Teach my hands to war. Hallelujah. That by this you may engage, you may wage the good warfare. Let's just read verse 19 here, and then we go back to Exodus 19. Having faith and a good conscience, which some have, having rejected concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck. that you may wage what? A good warfare. He said, having faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected. You know what faith is? Faith is uncertainty. Some people say it is belief without evidence. A higher definition of faith is belief in spite of the evidence. It's easy to believe without evidence. But there's another level of faith that is belief in spite of evidence. In spite of the negative evidence that you are seeing. Or I can believe that, okay, somehow before the end of today, God will, somebody will bless me and they will give me money. That's belief in spite of evidence. Yeah, I mean, that's belief without evidence, right? But then, the one believing in spite of evidence is where you are believing that by the end of today, someone will bless you, and yet people are taking from you. They, you know, it is going. Your account is going negative. Going negative. And you stand on that one and say, I still believe. What the Lord. That's in spite of the negative evidence. That is faith. That's a higher level of faith. He says, having faith and a good conscience, which some. This, he's talking to people in the church. He's talking to Timothy about people in the church. Which some, having rejected concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck. Victory that was meant for them, they become casualty. This year you will not be a casualty. Amen. You will not be a victim. Amen. You will be a victor. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I say you will be a victor. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. As you train your hands to war, as you train your fingers for war, as you train your fingers for battle, every adversity in front of you will be a stepping stone for promotion. In the name of Jesus Christ. Oh yes, thank you for the few of you who believe it. Yes, the rest of you who can keep your mouth shut, it is well. I refuse to settle for the status quo. I refuse. So may I refuse to settle for the status quo. I refuse to function only from a place of comfort. Every way that the Lord will stretch me this year, I will be malleable and ready for it. Amen. Do you believe what you just said? Oh yes, the Lord will stretch you this year. In fact, some of you are already stretched. You've been complaining. I don't know why this, I don't know why that. Why? Is because it is a year of expansion. Look for the opportunity in the midst of it. Amen. You see, when you are a baby Christian, you just share testimonies. I just praise the Lord. The Lord is so good. Before I even prayed, he just answered. I don't know how people have, because for me, God just does it. It's called honeymoon. It's a welcome. It's like my sons come up and share testimony that, praise the Lord, I don't even struggle in our house. Before I wake up, there's food cooked. Of course, you're a baby. You are in the pews. There's food cooked for you already. But a season will come. When, if you don't cook, you will go hungry. Are you hearing me, somebody? If you don't cook and you don't have money to go buy food, you go hungry. Although there are restaurants around and although there is abundance of food in the pantry, if you don't cook it, you will starve. Thank you, brother. Yes, sir. You can testify. So, Pastor, I just feel lazy. I don't want to do anything. I just pray the Lord. The season of manna. Manna was just to prepare them to go to a place where they will work. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's go back to Exodus 13 real quick. Exodus 13 verse 17 says, then it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. Somebody said that was near. Don't always look for the near routes. shortcuts, quick fixes. Oh, pastor, just tell me the quick one. Just the way that will happen quick. Jehovah Shap Shap. I believe in Jehovah Shap Shap. Like I told you, I believe in miracles. But I've told you this, and I will say it again. It bears repetition. God did not create you and I to live by miracles. I know some of you will be like, you were startled by that. God didn't make you to live by miracles. Like I've said before, if you don't have breath, and we pray for you and you have breath, that's a miracle, right? So, if God created you to live by miracles, it means that you'll be carrying an oxygen tank around, or we'll just be praying for you all the time so that you can breathe. Let me ask you a question. Do you think about it when you breathe? It just happens. God wired you to function within a system. Miracles are suspensions of the natural order, are the interventions of God within the natural order. So sometimes you may have shortness of breath, or somebody who is asthmatic and they pray and you become delivered from that. That is now a miracle. Praise God. But you don't want to live by miracles. I know some of you like to live by miracles, but you don't want to, because it will become burdensome for you. It means that you just always, at any point in time, you always just be thinking, is it going to happen? Am I going to breathe the next breath? Am I going to be able to pull in? You don't want to eat by miracles. When you are hungry, you just go take the food and eat, right? You swallow it until one day when your throat has a problem and you can't swallow. Then you now know that you need a miracle. Or when your digestive system is not working well, then you know you need a miracle. How many of you have ever had acid reflux? Well, when you eat, sometimes you start feeling like, okay. Do you like that comfort? Do you like that discomfort? No. So you begin to pray for God, heal me, miracle. You know why? Because your bowel production or the functions of your stomach are not, your gut health is not exactly balanced. That's why you need, the acidity within your stomach is not exactly balanced to process the food. That's why you need a miracle. You need healing. And sometimes some of the healing is you go take, how do you call that medication? You begin to tums, and you begin to, that's a scientific miracle to intervene, to solve that problem for you. But you don't want to live like that. But every time you see good food, you want to eat it. You start remembering, oh Lord, if I eat this food now, I won't be able to sleep. Lord, if I eat it now, I'll begin to have this acid reflux. Can you imagine? That's how some believers like to live. They don't want to do nothing. They just, Lord, give me a miracle today. God will work miracles. He does miracles so great. He does great miracles. I am a beneficiary of miracles. I'm standing here because I'm a miracle. And miracles are what? Interventions. God intervening in situations. Praise God. So then it came to pass, when Pharaoh let the people go, that God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near, or you can say, although that was shorter. For God said, for who said? God said, in his wisdom, in his sovereign wisdom, he said, lest perhaps the people, God knows you well. He knows you and I better than we know ourselves. Lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. Let me ask you a question. If everything you've been praying for is answered, will you still pray? If everything that you want, that you believe in God for, is given to you, will you still have a reason to fast? Okay. Some of us will sit down, relax, get a cocoon, and put a big screen TV with Netflix on it. That's when you peruse through all the movies and browse through all of them. And then before you know, the devil comes and takes over. That's how returning back to Egypt. That's how people return back to Egypt. Let's say return back to Egypt. Let's read verse 18. Verse 18 says, So God let the people. He did what? He led the people around by the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt. He brought order in their lives. He led them not just by the wilderness, but by the Red Sea. Why the Red Sea? They could just go through the wilderness, right? Without encountering the Red Sea. When they left Egypt, they were going. Pharaoh let them go. Some of you don't realize that the devil is persistent. The Bible says the devil roams about to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. So because you have a victory today, it does not mean you fold your hands and sit down. Because he will zoom to that end, and he will zoom back. Your end. Oh, some of you are looking at me like Pastor Blaise is preaching heresy. I'm not telling you heresy. If you go to Luke chapter 4, when Jesus, the Bible says Jesus came out of, when he was baptized, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness where he was tempted. Tempted means tested by the devil for 40 days. Afterward, he was hungry. Then, at the end of it, when he had victory, the Bible says the devil left him for a season. For a season. Hallelujah. Left him for a season. You are still on this side of life, this side of eternity, because God wants you to mature, to grow, to enter into some things, to become who he says you should become. Praise God. So the Lord, so God led the people around by the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt. So they left, Pharaoh let them go, and what Moses told them was, the Lord has said, let my people go that they may serve me. Exodus chapter 8 verse 1. God told Moses, go to Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go that they may serve me. God wants you in the midst of the wilderness. The primary purpose of God calling you is that you may serve him. And part of that wilderness experience is to train you to serve him. It's not just taking you to the land flowing with milk and honey that you can just go there and eat milk and, you know, drink, eat honey and drink milk and then just, no, that's not it. Is that you may have strength to serve him. Let my people go that they may serve me. But immediately Pharaoh let them, they were going. The direction that God, by the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire, the way he was leading them, he led them to the Red Sea. In front of them was the Red Sea. Behind them was Pharaoh. Pharaoh was coming behind. There was no way to run except either face the Red Sea or face Pharaoh. The Red Sea parted. And they went through. And Pharaoh died. And all his people in the Red Sea. You think that is over? No, now they are in the wilderness. Where the real training begins. Oh, time doesn't permit me to tell you. You know, when they left Egypt, they left with gold. They borrowed, God told them, go to the women of Egypt, to the Egyptians. Ask them to borrow, let them give you gold. And the spirit of foolishness came upon the Egyptians. And gold came, they carried. When you ask for gold, they say, what quantity? They go and carry the one of their grandmother and give the women. Let me ask you a question. What is gold? Gold is money. And God led them to the wilderness. What are you going to do with money in a place where there is no shopping mall? Where you cannot buy anything? What are you going to do with gold in the wilderness where you are even not even have enough water to... So you're not going there to go begin to show people that you have arrived. Are you hearing me, somebody? The purpose of the gold was so that they could learn to give. They could learn to be generous. Learn to release for the work of God. And while they were there in the wilderness, God told Moses, tell every person who gives willingly. Yet God had made sure that all of them had gold. He said, tell them, of those who give willingly, who are of a willing heart, let them give for the work. Willingly. That's part of the training in the wilderness. He begins to test your heart. Let them do what? Give willingly. They have gold. They did not work for. It was given to them freely. They went to the desert where they cannot use the gold to buy anything. Imagine they bless you now with $1 million and there's no shopping mall. All your needs are met. You need shoe, it grows. Clothes, it grows. Louis Vuitton, it changes into Louis Vuitton. Hermes, it changes. Aldo, it changes. That's how the children of Israel were in the desert. Every day they woke up, their clothes had grown. Cleaned automatically. Their shoe grew with them. Yet they had gold. They had abundance of gold, but they could not use it. I'm telling you something that you've got to understand. Train my hands for war. But you see, why they delayed in that wilderness, some of them took that gold and made a golden calf because they needed to be able to worship. So you see, the lesson that they should have learned there was to be generous. But all of a sudden, because of their own cravings, the cravings of their heart, they started making for themselves a golden calf. Let's go to Numbers. Actually, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 8 as we close. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 1. Oh, go back to that numbers that you had on there. Let me see. That was a good numbers. Now the Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the tabernacle of meeting on the first day of the second month in the second year after they had come out of the land of Egypt, saying, let's go to verse 2. I just like scripture when I see it. It just catches my attention. Okay, take a census. That's count. Take a census. They should number. When you sit here, you look at yourself, look at the congregation, take a census. Amen. That's besides the point. Let's go. Exodus, Deuteronomy chapter 8. Because I have a short time. I want to make sure I close on time. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Verse number 1. So why does God lead people the long road? The long road leads to success. It leads to sustainable success. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 1. It says, every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. The reason why God takes us the long road, number one, is so that we can learn to be obedient. You see, is it every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to do what? To observe. He takes us the long way that we may learn obedience. The Bible, speaking of Jesus, he said, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things he suffered. I know some of you don't know that passage of scripture. So every small adversity you face, that's when you become disobedient. The time when you fell in sin was because there was pressure in your life. Pastor, you know, I was just going through a very bad season in my life, and hey, you know, I just fell in sin. You didn't fall. You went into sin. How did you fall? Nothing was slippery around you. You just went in. Just face the truth. Sin must not be a place of solace for you. Are you hearing me, somebody? Some adversity are there to help you to learn to be obedient. Hallelujah. God allows you to go the long way that you may learn obedience. Praise the Lord. I may learn obedience. And when you learn obedience, you will multiply. Number two, you will multiply. He allows you to go the long way that you may multiply. When they left Egypt, as many as they were, when they went through the desert, imagine the number of people who died in the desert, yet they multiplied. Good ones multiplied. Multiplied. Verse number 2, and you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness. Number 3, to humble you and test you. To do what? To humble you and test you. Some believers in church are too prideful, too arrogant. There's a syndrome called chronic God syndrome. People who feel that they can do anything, they are too, they see themselves as demigods. Sometimes God allows you to go through so that you learn that you are not God. That you learn that you are not God. Am I communicating with somebody? You know, it's simple that we know that we are not God. But sometimes we actually can think that we are God. We are a supplier. Because my hands have begotten me this. So Pastor, I walk the way I walk for this thing. But my hands have begotten this. You know that people who have worked hard or work harder? That he may humble you. Some people, if God really allowed you to have certain things, nobody will hear from you. They will not hear. In fact, nobody will reach your level. Are you hearing me, somebody? Sometimes God allows us to grow gradually so that our pride can go away from us. Pride. Now, even as a pastor, you've got to understand this. You know, before you start, you begin to think, oh, well, we just go, the anointing, this and that. No, sometimes it allows you to, you know, you go through. So you can learn to appreciate. Do you know what it means to gather two members? Some of you, you come here, you look. Gather two people consistently. Consistently. Let them follow you. Let them listen to you for this long that you're listening to me without sleeping. Praise the Lord. Amen. I said, praise the Lord. Amen. Let them show up on time. Not as late as some of us here show up. Then you will know. You will know. That it is. No, you will become more appreciative. Hallelujah. It says to humble you. So that was number 3, right? To humble and to test you. To humble and to test you. To know what is in your heart. Number 4. God allows us to go through a long way to know what is in your heart. You know some prayers you've been praying. If you just came quick, you would not have known what was in your heart. The delay allowed your heart to come out. Some of the processes allowed your heart to come out. You know, sometimes I would say, if not because of this situation, where will I even be with them? That's what is in your heart. They are just, you know, they're just taking me common because church has brought us together. That's what is in your heart. It's just because of the situation that I'm in. That's why now they can talk to me anyhow. Because you see yourself more. You know what was in your heart. Whether you will keep his commandments or not. Whether you will keep his commandment or not. I was talking to Nigeria. I said, I've seen believers. I've seen people who have come here. I remember I saw some people who came here to Bible school. A guy came who was married. He had his ring. In fact, he was wearing his wife, his ring on his chin. He put it on the neck to show people that, yeah, he's like that. He can never do anything. When situation became tough, that ring disappeared. Before you know, he started compromising and he forgot that he was married. Sometimes some of the delays is to see what is in your heart. see where your commitment is. To see if you truly love the Lord with your whole heart, with your whole soul, with your whole mind, with your whole strength. Whether you will keep his commandments or not. Verse number 3. To get ready to close. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. This is the passage that Jesus was quoting to the devil. You didn't see that. You didn't catch that revelation. When Jesus was in the desert, in the wilderness, and the devil came to him to tempt him, to pressure him, to question his sonhood, to question if you are truly are the Son of God, command these stones to turn. You know where he went to? He went back to what happened to the children of Israel when they were in the wilderness. He quoted to the devil this part. To say, though I may be going through things, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. When you are built this way, you can withstand every pressure. Are you hearing me, somebody? I said, when you are built this way, there is no adversity that makes you crumble. There is no compromise in your system. Because you know that your God is faithful. You will stand like the 3 Hebrew sons. You will say, the Lord will deliver us. But even if he does not deliver me out of the fire, I still will not bow. Even if he doesn't deliver. I trust that he will deliver me. But even if he doesn't, there is no giving in. Are you hearing me, somebody? There's no giving in. Do you love the Lord? You want to learn to fight? This fight is not to carry sword and gun to go fight. No. This is contend for the faith. Contend for your faith. To stand. Having done all to stand. Stand therefore. Stand. Refuse to be shakable. To be movable. Stand on the word of God. Stand on the promises of God. You may not know how. You may not know when. But you believe that you will see the goodness of the Lord in the line of the living. Let me just read this part for you and we close. We close from here. Verse 3, so he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone. When he says he might make you know, this know was not head knowledge. That you might know by experience. That you might have a koinonia, a fellowship with that knowledge. Something that even if they cut off your head, you still know. You know in your knower that this God is a good God. Are you hearing me, somebody? You know that even your experiences are lying. Or some of you have had bad experiences and sometimes you major on the experiences. So there are things you know that you know that you know that even your experiences, you tell them, you say, you are lying. Because you have known. You have known. You have known God and God is beyond that experience. That's what Job did. He said, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Although Job did not know that it was not the Lord slaying him, but he said, though he slays me, I will trust him. His knowledge of God was better than the experience, negative experience he was going through at that moment. Just finish this quick. Verse number 4. Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. They were walking with legedes bends. In the wilderness, a long distance, for 40 years. Some of you have not gone 40 days journey. We've gone 40 days fast, but you cannot even walk for 40 minutes. These people did it for 40 years. Their feet did not swell. Hallelujah. Their feet did not swell for 40 years. You should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. His plans for you are good. Amen. I say his plans for you are good. His plans for you are good. He's teaching you to war not because he wants you to go fight, but his plans for you are good. He's teaching you to war because he wants to bring you into a good land, into the land flowing with milk and honey, into the brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills. Hallelujah. That's the plan of God for us. That's the promise of God for us. It is bringing us into a good land, bringing us into expansion this year on every corner. But he needs you to be a willing participant, to be cooperative with him, to learn to walk, to learn to stand your ground, to learn to not give in, to not give up to the adversity or to the adversary. Hallelujah. And if you are ready this year, say, Pastor, I want to learn to war. I want to train my hands. I want to grow this year like I've not grown before. I mean, material things will come your way. It is not prayers that material things will come your way. If we begin to share testimonies here, the testimony Mama Margaret shared. The devil came to take her life. He took a car. By force, her car was replaced. You think if that accident did not happen, that car will be replaced? Oh no. And the money will still have been there. So what the devil means for evil, the Lord turns it around for good. To show you his goodness. And I prophesy over your life this year that God will show you his goodness. You will eat of the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He will take you to a place of plenty, to a place of abundance, to a place flowing with milk and honey. In the name of Jesus Christ, every evil arrow against you, every weapon of the wicked against you, every adversity, hardship, difficulty that the enemy brings at you, God is turning it around for your good. In the name of Jesus, I say God is turning it around for your good. In the name of Jesus Christ, everything that takes people under will push you on top. In the name of Jesus Christ, every obstacle before you will be a stepping stone for announcement. In the name of Jesus Christ, whatever put people under will only launch you forward. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, you will not be defeated. You will not be a victim. You will not be a victim. You will rise up and be a victor. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray for you that you will not quit, that your hands will not be tired. In the name of Jesus, I say your hands will not be tired. You will eat of the goodness of the Lord. In the land of the living, you will eat of the goodness of the Lord. In the land of the living, in the name of Jesus Christ. Whatever it is that has held you, I speak against it today. That God, the God who called you by glory and virtue, the God who spoke over your life, the God who has good plans for your life, that whatever ails you, he will turn it around. He will turn it around for your good. I say he will turn it around for your good. In the name of Jesus Christ, you will have victory on every corner. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Amen. We are going to pray right now. We're going to pray one prayer and then we'll close. As we read in Psalm 144, that's where our prayer point is coming from. Psalm 144 verse 1. It says, blessed be the Lord my God. It is that the Lord our rock, my rock personalized. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and teaches my fingers for battle. Now, if you understand this passage of scripture, when you see the Lord with uppercase capitalized, you say, my rock. Jesus is the rock, right? He's the one who trains your hands for war. You are more than a conqueror because he has conquered. He's given us the authority to enforce the victory that he has won. He said, all authority, all power in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Go ye therefore and make. Go and make. Making is a process. We're going to pray and ask the Lord, give me the wisdom. The wisdom. Because he, as long as you release your hands, he will teach you for war. Give me the wisdom to know how to use your word. To know how to use your word. Your word. I'm going to say your word. I'm not just talking about the Bible. I'm talking about the Rhema word for you. The word for you. His promises for you. Some of you here, you are going through things, through hard times, through difficulties, that you need to be able to engage his word, the word that he spoke to you. Like the psalmist said, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That was the word to him. So the reason why he didn't give up, the reason why he didn't lose heart, is because he knew there was a word to him that he will see the goodness of the Lord. Lord, give me the wisdom to know how to engage your word for my victory. That's a prayer point. Give me the wisdom to know how to engage your word for my victory, for my expansion, for my glorification, for my establishment. Lift up your voice to me and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your word, because you are my rock. Who trains my hands for battle and teaches my fingers to war. Give me wisdom, oh God, to know how to engage your word for my victory, for my glorification, for my expansion. In Jesus' name. Come on, lift up your voice as you pray that prayer. La baradege shabahata. Father, I have received your word. Give me the wisdom, give me the grace, the knowledge, the understanding to know. Shabahata lebreketa iparade kabanda sadeba katila brakade matala rabakata bayana de bosha. Come on, lift up your voice, somebody. Sabaradeha. I refuse to be afraid. I refuse to give in. I refuse to give up. Shapalareda. I refuse to be intimidated, to be silenced. Lord God, give me the wisdom to know how to engage your word for my victory. To know how to use your word for my advancement. To know how to use your word for my progress. To know how to use your word, Lord, for your promise to me. Lord God, for my establishment. In the name of Jesus. Le grata. Le brokotobo yosaha. Zikatabaha. I will not fear. 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 Because you have not given me the spirit of fear, but of love, of boldness, and of a sound mind. Shabbata, lebreketa, shabbara kelaba. Find every spirit of fear, every spirit of fear. Lebra, sitra, lebredo shabbaha. Mandele lebreketa bahata. Come on, somebody pray. Pray against the spirit of fear. La paradisha. Find every spirit of fear. Find every spirit of fear. Every spirit of timidity. Find it, reject it. And find every spirit of fear, of timidity, of intimidation. And find it in the name of Jesus. By the power of the Holy Ghost. Matei Abaha. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise, Father. Amen. You know, as we were praying, I heard this. I don't know who deals with the spirit of fear and timidity because of the situations you're facing. Fear. But I speak over your life. God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of boldness, of love, and of a sound mind. I command the spirit of fear in your life to be gone. In the name of Jesus, we bind every foul spirit that wants to cage you. Every foul spirit that wants to intimidate you, to keep you bound, to keep a lead on your potentials. I bind that spirit now. In the name of Jesus Christ, we release you into your destiny, into your glorious destiny in Christ. Amen. Amen. If you are here and you are not born again, or you have not received Jesus into your life as your Lord and Savior, I want to pray for you. I want to pray with you. If you've never given your life to Jesus, or you may be watching online and you say, Pastor, I've never received Jesus into my life. That is the beginning of your journey with Him. If you're here today or you're watching online, you want us to pray with you, you want to receive Jesus into your life as your Lord and Savior, just lift up your hand and I'll gladly pray with you. I'll gladly pray for you. Anyone here? Or if you're watching online, just write to us online and we will pray for you. Praise God. If there's no one here, let's just pray together. There may be people online watching, may watch this rebroadcast, and the word has touched you. Brother, it begins with Jesus. It begins with Jesus. He's the Lord who calls you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So open your heart to Him and receive Him now. Just pray with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you right now. Say that by myself, I can do nothing. By my strength, I shall not prevail. So I come to you with humility, opening up my heart to you, inviting you into my life to take full control of my life. Wash me clean, Lord. Deliver me from the ways of the world, from the ways of sin and death, and write my name in your book of life. I receive eternal life now. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, or should have prayed it, may I assure you, God says no one who comes to Him will by any way be cast away. You become a new creature. Look for a Bible believing, Bible teaching, Bible practicing church and get plugged in. If you're in North America and you're watching this, you can write to us online. We'll gladly send you a Bible to help you in your Christian walk as you start with Him. Amen. God bless you. Just lift up your hands and let me pray for you. Father, I pray for these ones under the sound of my voice. I commit them to you. Lord, you said those who are committed to you, you are able to keep from falling. I pray that may the Lord bless you and keep you. I pray that may God lift up His countenance upon you and cause His face to shine upon you. May He give you peace in all your ways. You are blessing your going out. You are blessing your coming in from this time forward and forevermore. May He teach your hands to war and train your fingers for battle. You will have victory continually all the days of your life. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah.